Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It's a hard start to the week, and so what I would like to ask everyone to do is, in between the breaks of the show, if you would actually take 30 seconds or something during the breaks to just offer up prayers and thoughts to the people who are suffering in El Paso and in Dayton. I actually lived in Dayton a couple of years for a job that was there. So it's just never know. You never know. And so that's why the prayers are important. And I'll elaborate a little bit more on that later. But anyway, thanks for being with us today. It is the first Monday of the month, and that means it is Mortgage Monday or on the home front. And we are talking with our gracious guest host. He helps us out every first Monday of the month. Dabir Najeer, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself, Gretchen?
I'm doing okay. A little sad, but you know, I'm okay. You know, we'll get a handle on this, God willing. So,
yeah.
But thanks for joining us this morning. We are still doing, for those of you that have been listening, you know, August I try to do a lot of the back to school shows, and we are kind of doing a little bit of back to school during this show. We'll get to that, but we want to talk about the latest with some of the mortgage rates and whatnot. So, Dabir, give us a heads up, give us an update on what's going on for the home buyers and sellers right now.
Well, when it comes to the mortgage rates, they actually continue to hold strong. I guess it's going maybe 2 months now. Probably about 2.5 months now that rates have actually had a steep drop. They have been actually declining all throughout the year this year, but I would say the last 2.5 months have been really, really, really good for rates. Right now, with the 30-year conventional loan rates are right at a 3.75. Keep in mind that a year ago, the same Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac rates were at about a 5.05, 5.125 in that area. So this is a major drop from 1 year ago today. With FHA, you are right around a 3.375, which is down from a 4.625 a year ago. So rates have actually been dropping pretty fast over the last year, definitely over the last 2.5 months. And they actually predict that the rate should stay pretty consistent through the rest of the year. Of course, nobody has a crystal ball because, you know, politics does have a big play when it comes to rates as well. But they are expecting that the rates should continue to hold steady or possibly even drop a little bit further throughout the end of the year. And the Feds had a meeting, and they actually cut the Fed rate in order to keep everything consistent with the economy. And as a result, a lot of consumer spending has actually gained confidence as well. So rate-wise, economy-wise, everything is looking good. So if anybody's looking to purchase or refinance their home, I would definitely say this is definitely, definitely the time to take action.
So when you talk about refinancing home, I mean, it sounds really good. Now, the thing about it is people still have to have things in order, like credit scores and whatnot, correct?
Yes, but so you are correct. But even if your score isn't where you would prefer to be, for example, there's a lot of people that I helped last year that I have reached out to recently, and even though their scores weren't where they would like it to be, just because some people things just happen over the course of the year, and they weren't able to work on their credit as much as they would like to, they would have liked to. I was still able to refinance some of these people and put them into a lower rate and save them a couple hundred dollars a month, even though their credit is not where they where we discussed we wanted to get it to last year. And that's just because our rates are so much better that even if your credit isn't perfect, you can still get a better rate than what you had last year. So for anybody that may have gotten to a home last year, the year before, or any year, and where rates were higher, then you just want to take a look at where rates were then and say, okay, well, rates are lower. Am I in the same position financially? If you didn't improve to the point that you would like to, you would have liked to have improved to, you could still take advantage of some lower rates just because rates just dropped that far. Now, if we were consistent with last year, then yeah, it probably wouldn't make much sense. But for the most part, I would suggest for anybody that's going to FHA, if you at least have a 620, you should see, well, I say should, but it depends on where you are now. But typically with 620, I would definitely start looking into refinancing if you're currently in a home. Not saying that you're guaranteed to get what you want, but at least start to look into it. If you have a 640, that definitely puts you into a much, much better bracket. And even people who are at a 600, I would still take a look at it as well, too. You may see a lot of benefits in refinancing if you're at a 600. Another big, big thing is of recent times, I know we talked about it on the last show, people are refinancing to pay off some of those high interest rate credit cards. So as long as you're disciplined and you pay off these credit cards and you don't rack these credit cards back up, definitely take advantage of that, because I've saved people on the low side $200 a month and on the high side up to $1,000 a month. So you could be anywhere within that range and save money, and it's just worth it for you.
And so should people go to their current lender, the person that holds them, the company that holds the mortgage right now, and try to refinance through them, or should they go somewhere else?
Well, I know sometimes you may get some letters in the mail saying that the process is faster because you're currently with them. But that's not necessarily true. With FHA, if you're doing a streamlined refinance, an FHA mortgage, it doesn't matter who you're with, because the documentation needed for streamline is very, very minimal. We don't have to prove income. We don't have to collect the income documentation. So, yes, it's more of a marketing thing. And not saying that it's a lie, not at all. It's just that it's more of a marketing thing where they say, stay with us, we can get it done quicker for you. But they still have to go through the process of updating your credit score and pulling credit. So there's not too much that you're really saving there. What I would say, though, is even though you currently have you're with your bank, you probably wouldn't keep everything with your bank, I would at least check at least one other place, because just because your current bank, you have a relationship with your current bank, does not necessarily mean that they're going to provide the best deal for you. So my thing is that always has something to compare your current, whatever loan estimate you receive, you should always have at least one other loan estimate to compare it to. That way you know for sure that, I'm not saying you just shop with every single lender on the block, at least have one other loan estimate to compare it to.
Okay, so now we're going to take this to the back to school, one of the back to school issues that I wanted to discuss today, and that is, let's say you have someone that is in or going to college, or even if it's not even that, even if it's maybe a tuition issue where you have someone in a private school, a child in a private school. A lot of people look at taking out the traditional school loans possibly to help, as well as maybe some other ways of getting financing for school. Is it feasible to maybe consider refinancing instead of taking out the student loan? And what are the pros and cons?
The pros of refinancing is that you can actually refinance the your home, take out the cash, or pay, and take out whatever you believe that you will need. And I guess it gets into what do you believe you'll need over the course of the time they're in school. Because say that your child is a freshman in college, you don't want to refinance just to pull out enough to take care of the finances just for that year, because you don't want to get into a habit of refinancing every year, because there are costs associated with refinancing. So
okay,
it's not a bad thing to refinance to take that cash out to take care of their student loans, but it may be something that you may want to consider if you want to actually pull everything out at one point that you think you may need for 2 years and maybe even 4 years. That way the funds are available. The benefit of that is that you have a low fixed mortgage that's all included within your current mortgage payment. And you actually may be able to pull that cash out without having a big difference to your mortgage payment. Or because rates are lower, your mortgage payment may actually be lower. It's actually very possible it could be the same or lower than what you're currently paying for your mortgage. That way, later on, your child, and if you're co-signing for your child, doesn't have to worry about a very large student loan payment once they graduate. Now, if they do take out student loan, I'm not bashing student loans. Student loans are not a bad thing as long as you know how to manage them. Just that a lot of times students come out of school, they're hit with these very large payments after they graduate, and the student loan default rate is actually definitely an issue within our country right now. And a lot of times these student loans follow people for pretty much the rest of their lives once they graduate. So as long as you know how to manage the money and there is a plan how you will manage the money, I definitely don't think there is a problem with pulling the cash out to take care of your child's student expenses.
Okay. Yeah, and I was even thinking as you were talking, even you maybe not, if you didn't have to maybe even get a student loan, but even maybe pull out some money and maybe put it in an interest-bearing account, depending on how much money you can get out, it might be worth it to look at that, having that money grow. You're paying something for it, but maybe if you put in an interest-bearing account, at least maybe you it'll balance out a little bit. You're not paying as much for the loan. So
that's totally true. If you put in some type of investment account or have a financial advisor, they could definitely assist you with that. So you could at least offset it. Who knows, even make a little bit of money. And then just pull the money out of that interest-bearing account as you need it throughout the years, definitely.
The other thing I wanted to talk about too, and I think we've mentioned this before, I know we've mentioned this about getting a mortgage or something on a property near a college or university. And I know, like I said, when I was going off to college, my parents got a lot of information from a lot of different places trying to encourage them to buy a place for me. And they were like, no. Because she would party all the time. But anyway,
right.
The thing was, I ended up purchasing, I did a lease purchase on a condo over, and actually it was one of the same properties that my parents sent, were informed about before I went off to college. So if they had purchased it and maybe kept a little close eye on me or whatever, I think I'd have been fine. But anyway, in that 4 years, they could have built up some equity in that property and either had it to either sell to me or to sell to someone else or to rent out and keep as some sort of investment property for someone else, maybe a grad student or something that's going to college, something like that.
Yes, that's actually a very, very good idea. And I know of somebody who did that whenever I was in college, and I didn't get the whole picture until after we graduated and everything kind of came together. But basically this person, their parents purchased a townhome for them whenever they were freshmen and put the down payment. I guess I'll get into this other part about qualifying in a second here. But one of the benefits of doing that is that she was able to receive rent from the other rooms available in the townhome throughout the 4 years in school. And mm-hmm. that not only helped to pay the mortgage, but also gave some cash flow through each month for her. And throughout the years, that property gained equity, and they sold the property for a profit, and that took care of a lot of whatever remaining expenses were left over after graduating college. So now that, you know, at the time it didn't really, I was like, okay, your dad bought you a townhome, that's cool, everybody else rents. But when we graduated, I was like, oh, okay, now it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at that point, at that age, I wasn't really thinking about that. And I think a lot of parents aren't really thinking about it either, because the normal thing is to send your child to school and find a place that's safe for them to live while they study. And that's most people's real concern. But I was really thinking about, okay, well, let's find a way to have college pay for itself. So if you have a good contact agent in whatever city your child may be going to school in, they could help you find a property that will be a good investment, not only for the future as far as return wherever you sell the property, but will be a property that's located close to the school that it will not be hard to find students that will be looking to rent a room in a home. Mm-hmm. So definitely an excellent choice. If you have a child that's going to school this semester, well, I guess most people probably already found a place, but maybe for the fall semester or next year, definitely something you should look into. And, you know, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions anybody may have when it comes to getting a mortgage on a home for your child.
I mean, I'm looking at one of my cousins who has a son now that going to college in South Florida, and one of the things I was thinking about as you were talking was it could also be a good place for when the parents come to visit too. You know, they're looking at, instead of looking at a hotel, you know, to stay in while they're visiting the student, you know, they could always have an apartment or rental house or something where they could stay while they're visiting too. So, just a thought. I mean, it could work in so many different ways. And then one of the things I just thought about too is, you know, if you've held on to it for a while, that property, you know, if it, you know, goes as it goes up in value and everything, and as the student loans start to get a little bit much to manage, you could always sell that property to pay the student loan.
Yes, exactly. That was one of the biggest things. And any expenses such as student loans or any other loans you may have taken out during that time, once your child graduates, they are able to sell the property for profit and basically walk away from school with hopefully little to no debt at all. Hopefully pay off all of it and walk with some money in their pocket to, you know, to start off their professional career on a strong foot there. So definitely that's definitely a very good way to send your child to school with owning a property.
So
not a bad way to start off in teaching some responsibility and living on their own, because it will be their home. Well, and mm-hmm. And they're responsible for that home. So, you know, most time if you're sending a child to school, they're not buying a big home. They're buying something that's going to be convenient for them for the next 4 years. And
right.
So it's nothing too big. So it's usually something that's a nice size that they should be able to manage on their own.
There you go. So if you didn't get all of the tips, you can listen to the show again sometime soon. But in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break. We are here with Jabir Najjar, who is our expert mortgage person here every month on G's Power Hour, the first Monday of the month. The number, if you have questions for Jabir, is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is Mortgage Monday here. We're talking about the rates, and we were also talking about what you can do in terms of real estate and in terms of paying for school tuition or college payments, and how you might be able to recoup a little bit of that money or have some property for the long term. So thanks to Beer for that. What else is going on?
Well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I did want to actually, because I know before we went on break, I did mention I would discuss how to qualify for those programs.
Okay.
I know there's probably people like, okay, well, my child's in school. There's no way my child can qualify for a mortgage. But and for a lot of people, they may look at it as, okay, well, if I send my child to school, I buy a house for them. It's an investment property, which has a larger down payment. But both FHA and conventional financing, they allow what they call a non-occupying co-borrower. And both those programs do not require the main occupying borrower to actually make any money. So if your child is in school and they have absolutely no income at all, they can still be the primary borrower. There's nothing that says that the primary borrower has to make a certain amount of money or a certain percentage of the income, or they have to be able to manage a certain percentage of the mortgage. There's no guideline requiring that. It just requires that somebody is living in the home as a primary residence, and the parent, or whoever, it doesn't have to be parent, but whoever the family member may be, may co-sign on that home as what they call a non-occupying co-bar. So that will still be financed as a primary bar. And the down payment requirement is 3% with FHA. I'm sorry, 3% with conventional and 3.5% with FHA. Now, if you are not a first-time home buyer, has a non-occupying co-bar, they would have put down 5% instead of 3%. But either way, as we discussed earlier, it's especially if a parent is refinancing their home to put a down payment on their child's home, the extra 2%, they'll have to take the extra 2% out of their home if it has a down payment. But it's just important for families to look at the long-term goal instead of short-term, that 4 years from now or 2 years from now, wherever the timeline may be, you'll be happy that you spent that money, because you should be getting that money back a couple times over, not only in monthly rent if you're purchasing a 2 or 3 bedroom townhome or home or condo, whatever you may be purchasing, because you can rent out the other bedrooms, but the property value will go up over the course of the time that they're in school. You could sell that property for a profit and use that to pay off any other debts that your child may have taken out throughout the school year.
Okay, so, and, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I know for some it may seem like too much to just either just sign a lease and start making a payment, but if you're working with a good mortgage advisor and you're working with a good realtor, they'll guide you step by step. Don't worry about too much understanding everything just off of the radio show and putting a whole plan together in your head. Just speak with a mortgage advisor, a financial advisor, and a realtor in your area. And, or of course, give me a call as well. If you don't plan on using me, that's fine. I will be more than happy to provide additional explanation on how to structure everything. That way, 4 years from now, you end up not in debt, but coming out hopefully debt-free or with very little debt.
Well, the one thing to do is to kind of calculate how much are you going to be paying for dorm expenses? you know, what is that going to cost? And see whether or not you can find a property. I mean, it may even be a fixer-upper or something. And it doesn't have to be a large property. It just has to be a property that's a good price, a good deal. You have to get with a realtor to help you find the right property. And then, but just look at how much are you going to spend for the 4 years of college or even that first year and whether or not that can add up or be a part of that 3% that you were talking about. So, I mean, there's ways to do it. It's just a matter of getting the right guidance and being smart about it and not necessarily picking what is perceived as maybe the easy way out and just going ahead and, you know, paying for the dorm, you know, because the dorm money you don't get back in any way, shape, or form. You don't get that back at all.
Or if you're renting an apartment or a house for your child, you don't get that money back either. However, the landlord, the owner, definitely appreciates your money because you help to pay down the mortgage on their property, in which they will later sell for a profit. Or you could just do it on your own. Either way, the mortgage has to be paid, or payment has to be paid, I should say, whether it's rent or a mortgage. You might as well just put it towards investing yourself.
That's true. So I wanted to go back to the drop in the maintenance and or the drop in the mortgage rates. How long does your industry perceive this to continue, or what would make it change? What would make it go up? What do we need to keep our eyes out for?
Well, definitely one of the main numbers that recently came up with was the job growth. So the job growth is still very strong. So there's not a lot of concern there, but and consumer spending, there's a lot of consumer confidence. So that's definitely good. The concern is that they're just trying to stay ahead to make sure that there's not a decline in jobs or job growth and consumer spending. And that's part of why the feds cut the rates, just to keep the country humming on, you know, moving on all cylinders. But the outside thing is definitely the tariffs and the trade wars. That is the one thing that I'm most concerned with that could possibly throw things off. Before the end of the year, to answer your first question, as far as the industry, they do expect this to at least stay good, at least for the end of the year. There's no real predictions in 2020 yet, because, you know, it's the whole end of the year, things could change at the end of the year, and just things could, which call the beginning of next year to change, whether rates go up or down. But at least rate-wise, they expect everything to stay consistent at least through the end of the year. Now, what happens with the whole... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. What happens with what?
I was going to say, what happens with the whole threat to the tariffs on the Chinese goods? That's a whole other story, and how that actually may weaken our economy, or I should say increase costs, I should say, for those U.S. consumers, which could possibly lower consumer spending. So if the tariffs from the Chinese goods stay in place and those in the U.S. are not spending as much because their confidence is down, then that actually could take effect on just the economy as a whole. So that's the only thing that – I should say the only thing that's the main thing right now that would be a concern.
I wanted to ask you something else, and I know we didn't discuss this ahead of time, but I just can't – actually, it was something on MarketWatch that I just came across that was talking about more than a third of mortgage borrowers are missing an opportunity to save $2,000. I just posted it on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. And one of the things they were saying is that a lot of the home buyers don't necessarily shop around. when they're looking, you know, for a mortgage. They said it was too much of a hassle. And, you know, a lot of them said they didn't have regrets, but a lot of them are from what I understand, leaving money on the table. According to this article, only 41% of the buyers that they surveyed got one quote versus 41% only got one quote versus 34% of first-time buyers. Do you think it's partially because maybe they just go back to the repeat buyers, they just go back to who they've worked with before?
I think it's two things. It's repeat buyers will tend to, I believe, go back to who they worked with before, especially if they had a good experience with them. I've had people who probably 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 years, and they call me to see if I'm still in the business, and they come back to me because they had a good experience with me. And then some are referred to me by, you know, a trusted family member or friend, or, you know, maybe a coworker. And a lot of times I'm the only person that they go to. And it works the other way around too, that some buyer may just go to somebody else referred to them. And then sometimes it's, you know, they see people such as Quicken Loans or something like that on TV, or, you know, whatever, when they're scrolling, you know, looking at whatever on the internet, and they see a Quicken Loans ad, and they click on it, and they just go Quicken Loans because they're a well-known company. And especially even with Quicken Loans, I have found that they're not necessarily the lowest. They don't have the lowest rates, and maybe, you know, anywhere from an eighth to a quarter point, in many cases higher than a lot of the competition out there. But they are Quicken Loans that, you know, they do have a lot of expenses. They do a lot of advertising, and, you know, it's not necessarily that they have the best rates, but they're big, they're well-known, and somebody has to pay for the advertising, so they pass the advertising costs on to consumers. That's usually how it works at a lot of major companies. So I'm just thinking to a client that recently came to me because they were referred to me by somebody else when they were looking for a mortgage. And they told me the rate that they were actually quoted, and I was able to get them a lower rate. But if they wanted to keep that same rate that they were quoted with another bank, I was able to give them, I think it was $3,200 in a lender credit towards their closing costs. So with that bank that they were working with, that interest rate was just the interest rate. They didn't get anything from the bank. But I was able to quote them that same rate, and because it was higher than what they actually qualified for with us, it quoted them the same rate that the other bank gave to them. I was able to get them, I think it was a $3,200 or $3,300 credit towards their closing costs. Now, because that particular individual wanted to keep more money in their pocket as opposed to taking it out of their pocket, they were happy with the rate that the previous bank was offering to them. So they say, you know what, I'll keep the same rate and I'll take the $3,300 towards my closing costs. Now, some people may say, you know what, I'm going to do the math. I don't mind spending an extra $3,300 out of my pocket in order to get the lower interest rate to save money over the course of, you know, 30 years on interest. So it's all a personal preference, but either way, I'll maybe get them a lower rate or give them more money towards their closing costs. But if they didn't come and check with me, then they wouldn't have known that they could have gotten a better deal. Now, don't get me wrong, not saying that the other bank had a bad deal for them. It's just that there were better deals out there.
We are going to take a quick break. We are here with Dabir Najjar, who is giving us some guidance on mortgages. When we come back, we are going to try to talk to the teachers. Teachers, we know you work hard. This is the time to start saving up for your Christmas present, a brand new house. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we come back. But like I said, during the break, we want you to maybe take about 30 seconds to, you know, keep the people in El Paso and Dayton, Ohio, in mind, and send out a prayer and some thoughts for them. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407 407- 578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Never had it so good. Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We're talking mortgages, but before we get back to that, want to tell you that on Wednesday we will have an expanded edition of G's Power Hour starting at 11 o'clock instead of 11:30. We're going to go an hour and a half because we're going to talk about gun violence, and we want to hear from you guys as well. We're going to have a variety of people, some that have been on the show before. Harvey Kushner will be one that we've had him on before. He's an author right now, but he also has some experience with Homeland. So we're going to talk to him among some other people. So please make sure you join us at 11 on Wednesday instead of 11:30 to talk a little bit about gun violence and the various variables that may be attributed to why we're experiencing so much hatred, so much gun violence in our country right now. But in the meantime, we are back with Jabir Najeer. We are talking about mortgages this Monday, and want to talk about, we've touched on it before, but I want our teachers to really, really be thinking about how hard they work and what they deserve. As a Christmas present, and one of those things is to start looking into some of those teacher programs out there for purchasing a house. So talk a little bit about that, Jabir.
Yes, yes. One of the big programs I know we've talked about before is the Good Neighbor Next Door. And yes. Even though I mentioned this to a lot of people, and even on the radio show we've talked about it a couple of times, I don't get enough people asking about that program. And that program is a very, very good program that allows you to walk into a home with a lot of equity. What I mean by that is with the Good Teacher Next Door program, any HUD-owned homes you can purchase for 50% of the value. Now, the way that works is if HUD owns a home, they'll actually provide a silent second mortgage. So essentially, they're pretty much looking at it as they're giving you a 50% down payment on the home that you want to purchase, as long as you stay in the home for 3 years. And the good thing about the program, if you are a teacher and you're like, you know what, I'm thinking about making a career change, that is totally fine. You do not have to stay in the same position for those 3 years. But you do have to be a teacher, a full-time teacher, in order to get access to this program. And it gives you 50% down payment. And that down payment is in the form of the second mortgage. As long as you stay in the home for 3 years, then that second mortgage just disappears. You never have to make payments on it. It's what they call a silent mortgage. There's no interest rate. There's no payment associated with it. As long as you stay in the home for 3 years, you don't have to pay it back. So let's just take a $200,000 home, for example. You buy a $200,000 home. You pay the mortgage on $100,000. In 37 months, if you decide to sell the home, then you could take advantage of that $100,000 in equity because that second mortgage no longer is there. And over the course of 3 years, of course, you've actually gained more equity as prices go up. So who knows what that could be in 3 years? That could be 120, 130, 140. Who knows what that could be? So it just is a very, very good program to take advantage of. The biggest thing is that it has to be a home owned by HUD. And and another big thing, that's one of the biggest things I'm not sure I almost forgot, is that you don't have to put down the 3.5% that you would normally have to with normal FHA. The down payment requirement is $100. That's the only thing required, is that if you have $100, you could purchase a home today. It doesn't get much easier than that. A lot of people have $100 that they can invest. if they know that they're going to be able to purchase a home for that $100. And if you need to find homes, get access to those homes, HUD actually has a home a website, HUD Home Store, and you're able to look up the homes there and see what homes are available on the market.
It makes you want to contemplate a career change, maybe, but or at least take it
Man,
on and have another
life.
Career.
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow.
It is a very, very excellent program. I will say that there's not a lot of homes that are HUD-owned per area. There are a lot of HUD-owned homes, but in each area there's not a bunch. I will say that. But,
right.
So whenever you do see something, you will have to, if there is a program you're interested in, it may be one of those things that you can't think twice about it, you had to take advantage of it. But as we talked about with the student loans, with purchasing a home for your child that's going off to college, you have to look at the long term. So even if this is not necessarily the home that you had in mind or the area you had in mind or wherever it may be, because as I said, there's not a lot of options out there when it comes to
right.
HUD-owned homes, you have to look at the future. What will this mean for you 3 years from now? And if you can pretty much get a $300,000, you look at it this way. Somebody's going to basically pay you $100,000 to live in a home for 3 years. That's, I mean, it's kind of hard to beat that. And I say $100,000, because I use a $200,000 price point. You may find a home for $150,000, or you may find a home that's selling for $300,000. I just use $200,000 as a price point. But they're basically giving you 50% of whatever the home is worth just to live in the home for 3 years. You could sell it after that, or you could rent it out. It'd also be an extremely great investment property. And as long as you stay in the home for 3 years, you have to pay it back, and you have a super low payment because you're paying a mortgage on half of the home's value. So whenever you decide to rent it out, if you decide to rent it out 3 years from now, the cash flow you receive from it would be ridiculous. I mean, it's kind of hard to imagine anywhere that you would be able to purchase a home for half of the value and not be able to cash flow off of that home.
And also, too, just to let everybody know, and I am trying to publish this on a Facebook page for G's Power Hour, but there are state and local programs, too. So you might want, for not necessarily here in Florida, but if you know people who are in some of these other states, there's I was looking at this article. There was a what they call a Keystone Challenge Fund, Home for Texans Heroes, Mississippi Employer Assisted Housing Teacher Program. So check and see if there are any local programs as well as the Good Neighbor Next Door program by our federal government as well. But just wanted, like I said, you know, teachers to save a lot of pencil money by, you know, maybe looking in, especially with the, you know, it's just a good time to look with the rates being the way they are right now, and then having all of these programs, because this teacher program is just one program that's out there.
Yes.
We wanted, like I said, it's back to school time. It's like, I know you're a little overwhelmed with planning for the classroom. Let's take some time out to plan for yourself too, as well as planning for the kids. But what else do we have going on with – I'm sorry, go ahead, please.
Well, I was going to say one thing I do want to mention since we're on the assistance. Now, the Good Neighbor Next Door program is – there's not much more you have to do than just be a teacher for that program, and you automatically get that. But as Gretchen mentioned, there's some other programs out there. And it is an additional step for these other programs, whether you have to take a first-time home buyer class or you have to go through a sort of pre-qualification process for that,
right.
for that grant that they give to you. But the other step for the bank or the mortgage broker is that they also have to be approved for that program as well, too. And if they are approved for that program, it is a lot more work on the lender side. And hopefully you have a lender that's not going to stare you away because they don't feel like doing the work. And I've seen that many times that, you know, somebody's looking for a down payment assistance. They got approved through a county for $20,000. And then the broker tells them, hey, you know what? I know you're approved, but it's going to be very hard for anybody to accept your offer because they want to do a down payment assistance. or the down payment assistance process just takes, you know, X amount of time. Nobody's going to give you that much time on a contract. A lot of times they'll try to steer you away from it. And don't get me wrong, some of those are very valid concerns of a seller selling a home. Whenever you're purchasing a home and need down payment assistance, because sometimes sellers may look at, okay, this person may not be a very strong buyer, but that would be up to the agent to explain to them that it's not that you're a weak buyer, you have some assistance because you qualified for it, and it's not that you have a hard time qualifying for the loan. So as long as the seller is confident that you are a strong buyer who also just happens to have assistance for down payment, hopefully it shouldn't deter the seller from accepting your offer. But my main thing is just make sure you don't have a banker or mortgage advisor or mortgage broker that's steering you away from using down payment assistance because they just don't want to do the work themselves.
All right, there you go. Like I said, start planning. Take some time out, teachers. You know, make sure you're setting aside some funds for yourself, you know, any teacher bonuses that you may be getting, all of that. Second job money, take a little bit of that out there. I know it's hard, but just imagine what you could do. I know I had one question for you in terms of does it have to be a traditional single family home, or can it be a townhouse, condo, villa, any of that?
Yeah, it could be any of the above. Are you referring for the down payment assistance or the teacher specifically?
Teacher, the good neighbor. Yeah.
Oh, teacher. Yeah, so it could be anything. As long as it's a HUD-owned home, it could be any of the above. That's the main thing. And most of those homes are located in an area that's close to a school. It just has to be an area that you're working in, so you can't buy a home. If I'm just using Florida, I know listeners all over, but say if you're living in Orlando, you can't buy a home in, let's say, Jacksonville. It has to be in the area that you're living in. It has to be a primary residence.
Okay. All right. So if you're transitioning to another city, you can't necessarily do it until you've already, I guess, made the transition, correct?
Well, if let's say, for example, because this happens all the time, that say you have a job offer and they've already extended the offer, like you have an actual agreement for the school that you will be working at, then yes, we can do that, because one of the main things is that with FHA, you had to occupy the home within 60 days. So if it's 3 or 4 months out, then no, unfortunately it won't work. But if you're relocating and you're going to be starting a job within the next 60 days, then yes. Well, the main thing is also whenever it comes to that, is not only that they offer you the job, they also have the salary they're going to pay you as well too. That's also a very important thing. That if you're an hourly employee, it's really kind of hard that way, but because they don't know how many hours you're going to be working. But if they're actually offering you an actual salary, it makes it a lot easier to qualify that way. So yes, the main thing is that if you are moving, just have an offer letter that they've offered you the position and that you've accepted it. And your start date is also very important, and the amount that you'll be getting paid. And for teachers, usually it's a salary anyway in most cases, so that's usually not an issue.
Okay. All right. Cool. If you have questions for Javier, the number is 516-387-1944, because this is a good time to ask them some questions. If you are, even if you're not a teacher, I know we're trying to focus on the back school aspect, but even if you're not a teacher and you have questions, don't hesitate to call Javier and get your questions answered. But we are going to take a little break. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Dimp Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now a song for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Don't you want me, baby? Don't you want me?
floors redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks for being with us today. We are here with Jabir Najeer talking about the Back to School, the Good Neighbor program for teachers. We were talking a little bit about that. We were talking about also how to kind of make the best of the situation. If you're having to pay tuition or send kids off college, how you can get a mortgage that way, or you refi to help out. So there's a lot of options, you know, within real estate in order to help you out there. So, Jabir, I know we've got a little bit of time left, but go ahead and tell people how they can contact you and the name of your company.
Yes. The name of the company is Riajan Mortgage. It's R-I-A-J-A-N Mortgage. And you can contact me toll-free at 888-326-0285. Once again, that's 888-326-0285. Or you can always email me at Jabir, J-A-B-I-R, at Riajan, Riajan.com.
And while we were talking, well, while we were on break and while we were talking, I came across this site and I posted on G's Power, our Facebook page, where there's a number of ways where you can compare rates with different institutions. Because like we're saying, some people are like just walking away from some money because they're not getting the best rate that they could get. And you need to you need to ask questions. I'm sure Jabir wouldn't mind. You know, what do those rates include? What am I paying for? I know a lot of people are not, you know, kind of trying to figure out what all this pays for. So, I mean, ask the questions. If someone wants to answer your question, I would say go somewhere else. But that's just me.
Yeah, and it creates competition because not only do you get a quote from somebody else, but if that person knows that you're dealing with somebody with another, even if they don't know who the competition is, if they know that you are shopping around, they tend mm-hmm. to do a little better job in making sure they give you a better loan estimate and service out the gate. Service, rate, programs, they just do a little bit more because they want that business. But they believe that you're the only person that they're going to. They could just give you anything that just sounds fair, and a lot of times people are going to accept it. You don't know exactly the details of the mortgage, and you're just accepting that, you know, it sounds fair, so you accept it, not knowing that, you know, the next call could have saved you $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, sometimes $5,000, or even just over the course of the 30 years of your mortgage saved you, who knows, maybe $20,000, $30,000 just off of interest. So it's just very important that you at least check out one other company.
Okay. So what I wanted to ask you, because I know that I get this question a lot. Well, aren't they going to hit my credit? Every time they hit my credit, isn't my score going to go down? What's going to happen if I keep having all these people look at my credit? So can you answer that question, please?
Yes, so I get that question a lot. And, yes, if you have excessive credit pulls, then, yes, your score will go down. But the credit bureaus, it's not a penalty to get a new line of credit. So the credit bureaus are not penalizing you when you have a couple people review your credit in a short period of time, especially if it's in the same industry. So if you had three, even four people review your credit in the last 3 days, in the same industry, of course, then all companies should pull the same score. And the reason I mentioned the same industry is that every industry, the credit score, they use, even though you're looking at, you see, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion, there's different Equifax score models. So there's Equifax 9, there's Equifax 5. So they all put different weight on different things. So if you had somebody at a car company pull your credit, and somebody at a mortgage company for your credit, you actually may have different credit scores. But if you have two mortgage companies for your credit, they should actually have the same credit, the credit score. So, no, having your credit pulled by a few people in a short period of time in the same industry will not affect your score. But I have seen where people literally over the course of a month, almost every day has somebody new pull their credit. So, yes, if I've reviewed your credit on the 23rd person to pull your credit this month, then, yes, the first person to pull your credit earlier this month will have a higher score than I did. But if I'm the fourth or maybe even fifth person, I should still pull the same score that the first person pulled.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Any last tips this month while we're doing our home buying shopping?
Well, a couple things. If you have a child that's going to school, just kind of to recap what we already spoke about earlier, definitely mm-hmm. reach out to a realtor and a broker in that area. And even if your child, I know school's starting in a couple of weeks, so most likely parents have already established a place for their child to live coming up in the next couple of weeks. But at least start to gain a relationship and let that realtor know that next year you may be interested in purchasing a home. And then that way you can start to prepare yourself now for a purchase a year from now for your child. So if they only have 3 more years left or however long they have left, at least you'll be prepared ahead of time. For those who are local or are looking to hopefully purchase, or even if you're not looking to purchase, definitely reach out, talk to a local broker. If you don't have a local broker, feel free to contact me. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions you have and make sure that everything is simplified for you, because I like to do all the work for you instead of you having to map everything out yourself. So I kind of put together some type of outline so you know where you're going, and I do all the detailed work for you. But feel free to give me a call so I can pre-approve you, or if you're not looking to purchase right now, if you're looking to purchase 3 months from now, 6 months from now, or even a year from now, we could discuss on putting you on a path both in saving money, paying off debt, or fixing your credit, and we have a goal of what you're looking to qualify for. And has the holidays, I know we're not too far away from the holidays. I mean, we are far, but not too far before you know the holidays will be here. I always mention for those looking to purchase, please, please, please refrain from racking up credit cards if you're looking to hopefully purchase at the beginning of next year. And even if just times are just a little bit tougher now, but you want to purchase next year, sometimes we have a tendency just to kind of float things on a credit card and just kind of kick the can down the road. One of the major things that's really, really big is keeping that debt to credit ratio down. The amount of debt that you're borrowing in comparison to the amount of credit that the credit card company has extended to you, it's very important to keep that below 35%, at the very maximum 50%. But that 30 to 35% of the total limit that they're giving you is the best range to keep your debt to credit ratio. Those would probably be the main things right now that I would definitely tell people to focus on.
All right. Thanks, Debir. Really appreciate it. And by the way, you guys, I just wanted to remind you of something else I was thinking about. I didn't want you guys to forget. You got today and tomorrow for your back-to-school shopping, the tax-free shopping today and tomorrow. So don't forget that. And also don't forget, well, tomorrow we have Paul Shelton, our economist, on tomorrow. And then also on Wednesday, like I said, an expanded edition, we will have Harvey Kushner. He has written a book called The Encyclopedia of Terrorism. He's going to be on, as well as attorney Nadine Brown that we've had on before. We're going to have a discussion on gun violence and the variables that are associated with it. So hopefully, you know, please take the time to join us starting at 11 on Wednesday. But tomorrow, 11:30 with Paul Shelton and Debir, thank you so much for being with us. And we will have Debir's information posted on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. Thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. Have a very blessed day, y'all. Stay safe. Keep everyone in prayer. And please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.